It's a joy and honor for me to be leading us in the preaching of the word this afternoon. I pray that you would be encouraged and that from the word that we heard this morning, that we would be further encouraged even for today, tomorrow, and the days to come. Now, I don't know if everyone here has ever been to a concert before or a music show, but if you have, there's always one thing that they always try and do at these concerts. It's very popular for bands to do. It's called an encore. If you don't know what an encore is, usually during a concert, after the band is done with their main show, they leave the stage, and then the crowd gives them a long and loud applause, demanding them to come back, and then the band finally comes back for one last song. That's what we call an encore. Now, no one's demanding for an encore, and I'm no Josh Manley, but here we are, and I'm glad you're here. That's true. That's true. My hope, again, is that this afternoon's text would be a real encouragement to you, that it would also provide a perfect end to what we heard this morning. Josh did a fantastic job for us working through 1 Samuel. I was just so encouraged by your message this morning. And to briefly restate his main point, the passage's main point, he said that human desperation is no obstacle to God's salvation. There's already so much to unpack here, but if you were paying attention, and I hope you were, Josh didn't stop here. The passage didn't stop here. The main point of this morning's message was that human desperation is no obstacle to God's salvation. So boldly live by faith. We get to live by faith. This is where I want us to pick up this afternoon. My hope is that after these next 15 minutes, you would feel a sense of confidence, a sense of assurance, a sense of certainty to be able to live by faith. To live by faith today, tomorrow, years to come, through whatever is thrown at you. It's hard, if not impossible, for us, if you've read through the Bible a number of times in your life, to see how the Old Testament and the New Testament are connected. It's very hard for us to not see that. And this morning, while Josh was working through 1 Samuel, it was impossible for me to see that there's another story that many of us are probably familiar with. He alluded to it a couple of times. Hannah's prayer is a beautiful backdrop or background to our text this afternoon. And our text this afternoon is going to be in Luke. It's going to be Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat. So if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I'd like to invite you to turn to Luke 1. Luke 1. We'll be looking at what I think is one of the most beautiful songs in the entire Bible. We all know David was pretty good, right? He was good at making up songs, but I think Mary's song is the real deal, right? David wrote a lot of songs, but Mary's song is what I would say a one-hit wonder, right? Something you can't ever forget. Now, unfortunately, we don't have enough time to look at the entire song tonight, but what I do want us to focus in is on verses 51 through 53. I'll go ahead and read it for us. Verses 51. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word, Father. We're so thankful by this morning's message, Father, and we We just pray that Hannah's prayer, and as we look at Mary's song, that these would embody how we pray. Father, that you would work mightily in us, not for our name or our sake, but for your sake, Father. May tonight's text resound in us, Father, mightily. Father, I pray that it would encourage us, convict us, Father. And ultimately, I pray that you would help us look at you even more clearly than we did yesterday. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Physics tells us that when two forces of equal weight and speed come together, the power between those two forces is distributed equally, or it's shared. Another way to think about this, if you didn't take any physics class in college, is when my tiny Mitsubishi Atraj, I mean, I don't know if you guys have seen those, they're super tiny. When my car hits another car, say it's a Yaris or a Sunny, the damage to my car is going to be very minimal, right? I'm not going to be too worried about it. But let's say my car gets in an accident with a Nissan Patrol, right? You guys are probably all familiar with Nissan Patrols. I think everyone that has driven on the road knows about those Nissan Patrols. It doesn't matter what car you drive. If it's not a Patrol, you move out of the way. Now, it might be because they're flicking their lights at you. It might be because they're only 1 meter behind your car. Whatever it is, what we all know is that that car is bigger. We know that we need to move out of the way because if there was an accident that was going to happen, we're the ones in trouble. And so you see, when it comes to power, it's something that we as humans constantly crave. It's part of our sin nature. And now power doesn't necessarily mean strength or size. Power can be seen in the way we use our authority. It can be seen in the way we use our resources, our money, our positions at work, or even our roles in the home. And the thing with power is that it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, or what you do, someone will always have more power than you. The song of praise from Mary is so beautiful and also so rich in meaning. After learning that she will be the one to bear the Messiah, Jesus Christ himself, she can't help but rejoice. She can't help but praise God for this miracle. And so keeping in mind Hannah's prayer, there's so many similarities here. Hannah says, "My heart exalts the Lord." Mary in her song says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Hannah says, "My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." And Mary says, "My spirit rejoices in my God, in God my Savior." Both Hannah and Mary, when they came face to face with God's grace and his mercy, their immediate response wasn't, "Look at me." Their response was, "Look at him. Look at him, our Lord and our Savior." So like Hannah and Mary, when we rejoice mightily, powerfully, when we experience God's grace, yet also, we don't only rejoice. Interestingly enough, if you take a look with me here at these verses, we don't see just a long list of praises in both passages. What we also see are declarations or statements about God's power and how this power comes in contact with different kinds of people. I think if you were to do a very, very quick read of this passage, we might miss that Mary intentionally switches from talking about her relationship with God, how great God is, to now, she's talking about God's relationship with other people, with you, with me. God's relationship with those of us here. God's relationship with those that are out there. She goes from, "He who is mighty has done great things for me," to, "His mercy is for those who fear him." So those who fear him, which I hope in this room are many of us. But for verse 51, we see she's talking about those that are out there. 51, "He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones." In a time where God's people have been sidelined, their land has been taken by the Roman Empire, Mary's words would have had an enormous, a massive impact on anyone that read this passage. It would have been taken as a direct attack or an assault to anyone that had any kind of power. If you were a ruler hearing these words, hearing, "He has brought down the mighty from the thrones," that's not something you would clap about or cheer about. Or if you had any pride in your heart to hear, "To be scattered," you would be scattered. That is the exact opposite of what you would want. So when Mary says these words, what we're really hearing is God's relationship with powerful and prideful people and what he's going to do with them. And what he's going to do is he's going to bring them low and he's going to scatter them. You see, powerful and prideful people will always try everything they can to keep what they have. They will try everything they can to keep what they have and to have more. Whether it's position, whether it's wealth. Yet God will scatter and bring down those that the world sees great. In return, what we see is that he will exalt, verse 52, he will exalt those of humble estate. Continuing on, verse 53, "He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." There's no doubt here that when we look at this text and look at what Mary is saying, is that she is thinking about the past, but while she's also thinking about the past, she also sees a beautiful promise that's in the future. And she sees that this promise is culminating or ending in Christ, in the baby that she is bearing. Mary, at this point in her life, and for many of us, is living in this in-between. She's seen how God has acted for his people, yet she hasn't seen exactly how God will act for his people. But you see, what's amazing about this is that because of what she believes that God has done, this belief actually drives what she believes God will do. As we read these words, you can sense a kind of certainty, a kind of confidence that Mary has here that can only come from God. And not any ordinary God. A God that she knows never changes and is always faithful. Always faithful. What certainty Mary has here. Do you have this kind of certainty in life? Where is your certainty coming from? Or another way to ask this question is, who is your confidence in? Is it yourself? Is it your work? Is it something else? You see, since arriving in the UAE, this country, I think in many ways, is very different from the States. Very, very different from the States. But in other ways, I also think the UAE is very similar. The UAE is what I think the States was and continues to try and be, even though Some can say that we're not doing too good of a job, but we'll see. The UAE is a land of opportunity. This country is a place where people from all sorts of backgrounds and cultures, they all come here. From as far south as South Africa, to far north like Russia, to the east like the Philippines, and then the west like the States. People from everywhere and all in between come here for a better life and opportunity. And I want to say this isn't necessarily a bad thing. We praise God for these things. We praise God that He's provided all of us a way to be here. We praise God that He's provided all of us a way to have a job, to be able to provide for our families, either here or back home. In all of this, we praise God, but we still need to be careful. In this fast-paced life of the UAE, I've already seen it happen. It's far too easy for us to be consumed by the power-hungry and money-focused culture that's here. What starts out as we only wanted to be able to provide for our families becomes now I have to have this position in this company, or I need to do this thing, I need to have this whatever it is to get me to the next level in life. And so what ends up happening is that we take something that's good and we do it so well, we take something that's good and then we twist it for our own personal benefit. The more things we start to want that are not of God, the further we start to stray from God. Once saved, always saved, but we are still living in the between, and so we still have to wrestle with these things. Yet, again, what is your confidence? What are you longing for? What do we do with all this? Mary tells us that God isn't going to deal kindly with powerful and prideful people, but only the humble and the hungry will be lifted up and filled. So how do we stay in this space to be humble and hungry? How do we stay in that space when everything inside of us and outside of us is telling us that we need to think about ourselves? We need to think about us. A few reflection questions I think are helpful for us as we close here. Number one, who is your confidence in? Is it yourself? Is it your job? Is it the things you have or your role in the home? As we saw in Hannah this morning and now even more so in Mary, their confidence has always been in the Lord. Justice will come. It has already come through the cross, and it will come fully when He comes back. So again, who is your confidence in? Or more pointedly, who do you trust? Do you trust yourself when life gets hard, or do you trust God? Question two, do we truly believe, in who God says He is? Do you believe He's actually more powerful than your boss, more powerful than the rulers of this world? And do you believe that when He says He will do something, He will do it? Do you believe in who He says He is? And then our last question is, do you have a reason to rejoice today? Hannah had nothing to offer to God, yet He chose her, blessed her beyond even her own understanding through her son Samuel. Mary also had nothing to offer to God, yet He chose her to bear the Messiah. In Mary's situation, through the world's eyes, Jesus should have been born to someone more reputable. Maybe someone with more power, more position, more wealth, maybe someone that could have delivered in a place that was similar to a hospital with the best doctors, the best medicine. Yet what we see is a God that chose Mary. I don't know where you're at in this room. You might be feeling pretty down. There might be some struggles in your life, or you might feel far from God. But if you are in Christ, you have a reason to rejoice. He chose you, and he continues to choose you. He will keep you. He is faithful so that we can boldly live by faith in him.